This is your place. This is your space for all things blue and orange. Indeed, it's the Blue and Orange Experience. I'm Lamont Germany. We welcome you in. All we do is orange and blue. It's all about Morgan State University athletics as another academic year is about to jump off. And the first program to see competition is going to be Morgan Volleyball. Ladies going to be on the road in Blacksburg, Virginia, at Virginia Tech, participating in a weekend tournament. The Blue and Orange Experience had an opportunity to catch up with the second-year head coach, Ziamara Ortiz. Coach Z setting the table for what's in store for Morgan State Volleyball in 2023.
We welcome to the Blue and Orange Experience second-year head coach at Morgan State University, Ziamara Ortiz. Coach Z, appreciate the time today.
Hello. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Coach, I love this time of the year. Absolutely. It's kind of like a new beginning, a new spirit of engagement and competition. As a player and as a coach, what did this do for you this time of year when it was go time?
Wow. Yeah. So it's kind of what I think about it, at least. I've been reflecting about it a lot, and it's building blocks, and we're able to continue to lay foundations for what Morgan State Volleyball legacy is turning to be and becoming. And so it's an exciting time because we get new faces, we get to establish new relationships and kind of put forth all the work that they've been doing in the spring and now showcasing that in competition. So yeah, it's been a fun ride so far.
Well, this year is very different than last year. Last year you got here with a real small window to put things in place in anticipation of the season.
Right.
But this year, Coach, you kind of had an entire off season for player development, for recruiting, to do a little stuff in the spring, to just engage and get to know your student athletes. Mm-hmm. They get a chance to know you.
Yep.
How much of a difference did all of that make this year as opposed to the challenges you faced in that short window last year?
Yeah. I mean, just the time spent with, like you said, developing the relationships with those that were already here riding for Morgan State Volleyball, that was really important to me to understand where they were coming from, give them time and grace to learn a whole system that was new to them. And then for many, except for our former senior middle blocker, Melanie Battle, everyone was new to their first spring season training. And so the work that they put in from the strength and conditioning room to our sessions on court has been making a big difference, I think, so far, because it's giving them technical feedback and consistency from a training standpoint. So we're seeing a lot more of those connections working out now that we had that time in the spring. And then, you know, just the development of culture of what we expect to see when competition isn't in their face, because that's a big difference, too, of what we're doing on and off the court and when playtime doesn't matter necessarily. So are they bringing in the tribe culture that we're looking for, being accountable on and off the court academically? All of those things are being practiced in a non-competition season.
I'm really loving the schedule.
Particularly,
we got a lot of home matches.
Oh,
I like doing business here at Hill Field House. Talk to me about the importance of expanding the opportunities that fans, alumni, students can actually see the program live and in person in this building. I think I counted 14.
Yep.
Talk to me about how important it is to have that many home matches.
It was pretty evident at the start, you know, of MEAC's last fall, where we would be in matches and the fan engagement created energy for us, created that home court advantage. and, you know, we're able to stay closer in games or able to, you know, take some sets. So that to me was really important because I didn't want our first experience for a home match to be during MEAC season again. We need that home time play in the preseason earlier on, get exposed to that. And so, you know, I think it was important for them to feel comfortable in their own home. And not only does that bring in fans and engagement from student life, but, you know, my goals and my vision for what our volleyball program is we're going to be the best, you know, Morgan State team on this campus. And what you want to be doing Friday and Sundays are going to volleyball matches. And so, you know, that means we have to have more home games for them to experience that earlier on. So.
Well, you have a schedule that's going to be extremely competitive. Mm-hmm. Let's break it down in components. Let's start with the non-conference portion of that schedule. How competitive it will be, and how much you think it'll prepare us before we get into MEAC play.
Yeah, so I still felt it was important to have a balance of schedule. So our preseason or non-conference play, you know, we're opening up at Virginia Tech. They're a top, you know, really hanging in there. They're growing program right now in the ACC, and they've had a bunch of big time recruits coming in, so I'm excited to kind of kick it off right away with a big hitter, and then Furman and Quinnipiac just won their conference championship last season, so we're still in that realm where teams are in the top half of their conference. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a really good tournament for us to come out and see what, you know, top teams are doing, and then we, you know, really go to our second week, which is our home tournament with Towson University. And so that invitational, we bring in Dartmouth, we bring in Ryder, Farley Dickinson, and of course we got to play against Towson too. So again, I think the balance there is we have Towson, who was, you know, darn near 22-0 last season until like they got into the NCAA tournament, and Ryder again consistently playing against championship matches and final matches there. So, you know, Dartmouth the same. They're usually in the top four of their Ivy League conference. So we're bringing in these people that can not only find balance of we have winnable games. I think we have opportunities to take any one of those teams, but those that are challenging to prepare us for what we see in season as well. So I thought that was, you know, really important for those first 2 weeks to, you know, kick off with strong competition right away and get us to see what type of play we're at competing against those teams.
I want to talk about the influx of new student athletes on the roster. You have a lot of folks that are new faces that are on the squad this year. And one of the challenges often when you have a lot of new people is team chemistry, them getting to know each other, not only as people, but, you know, their tendencies on the floor, what they like, what they don't like. Yeah. I like to be set right here. And and when you have people who are veterans who have been together for a couple of years, maybe less of an issue. But with a new team, that chemistry development, I think, is essential if they're going to have success. How has that component, teammate getting to know teammate, progressed throughout the preseason?
Yeah, I thought it was really quickly getting on because, again, one of our values as a whole is – about a tribe. It's about our bear tribe, how we grow it, how we foster it, invest in each other. And so I felt from even just in the spring, we had most of our class wrapped up. And so 4 out of the 5 freshmen came to our spring tournament and watched them scrimmage. Oh, okay. So they're getting in front of our team already, getting a little introduction of how they play. But they're interacting with them. And I thought that was huge. And then while we were in the summer, we integrated them within our group chats. And, you know, everybody's got Instagram nowadays, so they're all following each other and things. So they're getting a sense of who those people are off the court to begin with. And that was, you know, fairly early on in the year. And then this preseason, we did focus a lot of preseason team bonding where we're learning each other. We did a baby photo challenge. We, you know, we did some one-on-one team dinner aspects. So they're sitting down with one person and truly having to sit down and getting to know who they are off the court. And some of them have such similarities too, which is funny because we have people from everywhere. We have a girl from Brazil, a girl from Minnesota, a girl from, you know, we have Texas on the team. We have Iowa on the team. So they're from different backgrounds, but sharing the same goals. And that's to compete. That's to be really driven academically. And so they find those similarities and connect through that. So we're still developing some further, you know, offensive chemistry and, you know, volleyball technically, technical pieces, but the team chemistry wise, wow, it's such a difference from how they're playing. And that's just because they're playing free, they're playing together, and they're trying to form those connections as quickly as they can while communicating through those tough times. And so it's a really cool thing to see when that chemistry works for them, because they're celebrating hard, they grind it out with each other, and yeah, it's a cool thing to pull together.
Well, Coach, I'm impressed. This was the first opportunity that you really had to have time for a full recruiting season.
Yeah.
And I think you definitely demonstrated your recruiting chops. Let's meet some of them. Just a word or two, if you will, about what they bring, and we'll just do it chronologically. Jada Williams going to be wearing number one on the floor.
Yeah.
Talk about Jada and what you expect her to contribute to the program.
Yeah, so she is a freshman middle, and so she really is kind of replacing that senior former middle Melanie Battle spot. Mm-hmm. And so she's got a huge blocking threat, you know, long, lanky arms, and she has a knack to find the ball. We got to get her activated a little bit more offensively, but I don't think she'll have an issue with getting into this league and showing out defensively. So I think that's one of our expectations for her.
You mentioned we have a Minnesotan on the squad. Yeah. Talk about Maya Carrick, the freshman from Minnesota.
So really high-level setter IQ from a top club in Minnesota and Northern Lights, and you know, they annually get to championship levels in the AU junior national teams. So she brings a lot of feist and a lot of setter offense. And now we're trying to have her included into, because we have three setters on the team currently. So trying to mix that in with how our offense is going to play.
Tiffany Moore, you didn't overlook recruits locally. Yeah. Tiffany Moore from right here in Maryland, Germantown, Maryland.
Yep. Yeah. So she's got really great jumping ability, working on some of her offensive connection. But again, she's someone who reads the game well. She fights hard as a teammate. And so we're looking for her to continue to be like just this energy ball on the court and ready when the time is right.
You mentioned multiple setters, one of them a transfer.
Yeah.
Erin Carpenter.
Yeah, so Erin we brought in from Western Carolina University last spring. She's done a really great job with just being like a glue to the team. She's just calm, cool, collected, finds connections really well, and you know, is pretty savvy in her setter IQ as well.
Got to have defense if you're going to win. And so you did bring in Libero, also a transfer. Talk to me about Ella Spencer.
Ella Spencer is like this silent killer. She's worked really hard in the spring. She overcame some ACL surgeries to her knees, but stepping on the court after 2 years of not playing, she's grown so much in the last, you know, couple months. And so she's really settle down our passing right now, And so she's, you know, really increasing how well we can play in system just by her passing on the court. So we're excited for her to keep us in system a lot.
I noticed some size as well with the incoming team. You have a young lady from Virginia Beach, a six-footer. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about Tyra Weems.
Yeah, Tyra, she is just an amazing person, super smart. She received an honors scholarship from the Honors College. And so she's not only brilliant-minded, but brilliant on the court. She's just got a lot of power and blocking ability. So as much as we have Mikayla there on the right side, she is just as much as a offensive threat.
You mentioned the international flavor from Brazil, Ayanaya Fernandez. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about what Ms. Fernandez brings to the table for Morgan.
Yeah, Ayanaya just right now we have really trying to collect our outside roster and so getting that depth. So she brings some depth for us on the outside. She's just got overall play, her passing ability, her swing, her shots. So she's got that flavor where she can just score from any position and in many different ways. So I love that we can find her the ball and she's smart with it. So she'll just take care of it.
And as we all know, Coach, you can't have a volleyball team without somebody from the West Coast.
Right.
Let's talk about the L.A. young lady, Biko Holly.
Yeah, Biko's got some swag, man. I love that kid. She plays with this Cali Coast vibe, and it's different from a technical standpoint, but she's like this great utility player. She's got good hands. She's got fluidity in her defense, and she's super scrappy, so we can play her as an outside. We can play her as a lib. We can play her as a back row outside. So, again, she's got such versatility, and I know she'll find her way on the court as well.
And lastly, although she's not really a newcomer, she was on the team before you came on board as head coach, but she had an injury, so she was unable to play last season. Talk to us about how good it is to have Gabby Iciano back on the floor for Morgan State.
Oh, my goodness. It is such a pleasure to have Gabby on the court. She's got spunk. She's got a lot of feistiness in her. She can score from an outside standpoint. We're glad that she's back jumping again from her ACL tear. And, again, she's got versatility where we can put her in the libero spot or defensive spot when she gets a little tired. But, man, can she execute a ball. So we really, again, have some versatility on this team where whoever's not doing it, somebody else can jump in and take care of the job.
As you know, Coach, always helps to be healthy.
Yes.
In the recent scrimmage that you had, I noticed that my girl Maddie Grace nursing some ligament injuries. How long do you anticipate having to go without her? How much of a loss to have to take the floor, at least early in the season, without Maddie?
Yeah, it's definitely not the greatest when, you know, you have one of your best top scorers out. And so, you know, that does mean that other people have to try and rise up to that job and responsibility, which I have no doubt that our players can do that. But she's got a lot of height. You know, she can jump pretty well, and she scores, you know, aggressively. And so that's a big part for the outside position. She was a six rotation player. And losing that really hinders a little bit of what our offense is. But, again, we're training every day to get everybody else up to par. And so hopefully we're not out. It's definitely not a you know, season-ending injury by any means. But we want to make sure she comes back as healthy as she can within manageable time. So we're hoping, you know, she'll only be out for maybe another month. But I really want her to listen to her body and understand, like, we're looking long-term here. We're not looking for just a quick fix. So,
Coach, lastly, because I know you got stuff to do other than talk to me, I'll leave you with this.
I always have time for you.
Oh, I appreciate it. you've had a chance to size up the conference last year. You saw the athletes. You saw the coaches, their styles, how they engage. Mm-hmm. So I guess a two-part question. How would you assess the overall talent level in the conference, the conference you're competing against, and this team this year? How competitive can we be? Can Morgan challenge for the MEAC championship here in 2023?
Yeah. Well, the funny part is, even in last year's season, you know, the MEAC is, in any given day, anybody can win. I don't think that there is really too much discrimination from a top half versus bottom half. It's who's playing well and who's playing consistently. And so, you know, we do have some teams that remain as far as consistent, you know, players in their roster. Coppin's got pretty much their full roster back. Howard, similar. They had a lot of fifth-year stay. Delaware State had a couple key players that left due to the coaching change. But, you know, at the same time, we have four new coaches in the MEAC as well. So there's a lot of change still happening. And again, I think this could still be our year to step into higher roles, higher ranks. You know, I understand that building a legacy doesn't take a day. And Rome wasn't built in a day either. So, you know, I really have high goals to, you know, get to that top four spot and then compete for championships. So, you know, as long as we're progressing to get to that point, I will be really happy with what we're doing and continuing to push our players athletically on how hard we can compete.
That's our head coach, Coach Z. She got her game face on. Because it won't be long now. Coach, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. Good luck when you kick things off down in Blacksburg, Virginia.
Yeah, and thank you again for giving me the first feature.
That's Coach Z. Ziomara Ortiz. I'm Lamont Germany. This is the Blue and Orange Experience.